Some of those are just oldies but goodies, you know?
And some of them are just oldies.
Stop describing yourself, Roger.
I remember this song specifically because our sister station, WVFM, was many, 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 many years ago, an alternative rock station. And it was called WSEO back then. And Brother John was one of the hosts, and that was his theme song, and so he used that as
can't get much better than that. It's good guitar work there, but
Norman Greenbaum. I even remember who it was.
There you go.
Yeah,
could tell you've been in radio. Well, if you're sitting here listening and going, "Who are these guys?" I'll tell you who I am. My name is Jeremy Lawrence.
And I'm Rog Taylor.
Because I wasn't going to tell you who he was, I just figured you should guess. But,
right.
You know, so I'm glad you mentioned. But maybe one of the things that you're doing while you're listening today is naturally, maybe you've got a texting kind of, I don't want to call it a battle, but kind of a back and forth text conversation going. A lot of people do that. Or maybe you're one of those people that gets phone calls every 3 or 4 minutes.
Or sooner.
Or sooner.
Yeah.
Because you've seen that sort of thing.
Oh, yes.
And according to a study, this was released, last month, actually, this was released. Phone addicts, people that are constantly on the phone, texting, calling, whatever it is, are less likely to be happy and more likely to suffer anxiety. Basically means if you can ignore texts and any calls that are coming in, you're likely to be more of a happy person, more contented.
Mm-hmm.
So
I can see that.
Now, you know, and I understand that, too. I have had thankfully, not here, but I have had in the past jobs where I've gotten calls on vacation.
Ooh.
You know, I can distinctly remember a time I'm in the Atlanta airport, layover, and I get a call from work. What do we do about this?
I don't know.
I think you ought to fix it. That's what I think you should do.
I'm in the Atlanta airport.
Tell you what, I'll be right over.
There's very little I can do from here, but thanks for letting me know. And see, then you could start worrying because you know something's wrong. You can't fix it.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
There you've got a little
more. There goes
more
the blood pressure.
The anxiety, the blood pressure is up. You're sitting here thinking, oh, I'm going to have to deal with this when I get back. And, of course, the texts. And, you know, it's one thing because particularly as you look a little younger in the demographics, more and more people text. And less of people of a younger age call.
Yeah.
It's more about texting.
Oh, absolutely. And more people are using email as texting.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be email was a substitute for writing a letter, writing a note.
Mm-hmm.
And you would say, "Dear Jeremy" at the top and "sincerely" at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked sort of like a letter. Now, even email is taking on text-like qualities. There'll be one sentence on the email.
You know, I have to admit I've seen that even in official business correspondence on email.
Oh, yeah.
Where people will just, you know, I'll send them, and I try to be as official as I can be most of the time, and I'll get a one-line response with the answer in it, and it's like, oh, okay.
I get it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, thanks for your...
But, I mean, back on the idea, though, you see it all the time. People, I mean, I've been in movie theaters in the middle of the movie, and people are sitting there texting.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, I understand when people have talked about, you know, the idea that some of these theaters might have some sort of a damper or something like there that would keep those signals from being able to hook up.
Yeah.
You understand it, because that would keep an awful lot of people like myself going,
from having to kill somebody.
You're paying to watch a movie. You're not paying to do the same thing that you've paid already to do that you could do in your own home.
Yeah.
You know.
Why do you come here to play with your phone?
So, but, you know, there's been an awful lot of stories. And we did just at the end of last hour, we had several people call in with stories of where they'd seen people texting. And on their phone and that kind of thing. Of course, we talked about the standard, which is behind the wheel. People do that. And the other interesting things, though, was we had somebody that said they'd seen someone walk right off a pier.
Yep.
And my favorite was a nurse that called in and said that she had had somebody she was preparing for surgery who was on their cell phone.
Yeah.
Which that just blew my mind. I'm thinking, just like, what kind of conversation is that? Oh, nothing. No, they're just, you know, they're taking my appendix out. That's all, you know.
And they're doing it now.
No, they've told me to count backwards. Can you do it with me? 199.
My wife works at a college, mm-hmm. and one of the issues they're facing is texting language mm-hmm. in papers that are turned in mm-hmm. as a part of classwork.
Mm-hmm.
But a paper typed out with the word, just the letter U in a sentence, instead of spelling out
Y-O-U. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And trying to get people to think outside what you can do with two opposable thumbs. And so there, you know, lots of people spend their lives on these little uh-huh. gadgets. Uh-huh.
Which I will admit, you know, I've probably for the last, gosh, I can't even think how long that I've had a smartphone, but I've had one for a while. And it really does revolutionize what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of good things that you can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But according to this study, one of the best things you can do is put it away.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny because there are times when I go home where, you know, it's almost a blessing when it's like, oh, okay, my phone needs charged. So I go take it to a completely different part of the house, plug it in, and then go to a totally different, I mean, it's like it's freedom or something. You know, somebody let me off of my chain.
Yeah.
Because then you don't have to worry about, unless you just absolutely can't resist the phone ringing. And then,
well, that's why I don't carry a cell phone anymore.
Uh-huh.
I found people kept calling me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like being on a leash.
Yeah.
I don't want to be always available for everybody. There's sometimes I just want to be on my own. I don't need a co-pilot just now.
Well, in case you want to call in and share some stories of what you've seen, maybe something kind of silly that you've seen at some point, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. One of the interesting stories that I read about sometime, and it didn't happen to me, thankfully, but somebody that went into a public restroom, and they're in there taking care of business, as you do in a public restroom, and then all of a sudden they hear from the stall next to them, "Hi." And then they hear nothing. So they think, are they talking to me? What's going on? And so they talk back and, "Hello." So how are you? Just fine.
Busy.
And then they hear, "I'm going to have to call you back. Some idiot in the stall next to me is talking to me."
Oops.
Which there's another place I wouldn't want to take the phone in. You
they
know,
weren't
you
playing footsie underneath the...
not that I'm aware
okay.
of. No,
it wasn't
no,
the Minneapolis airport.
No, it wasn't.
Okay,
and, you know, Senator Craig was not there.
Yeah,
so,
okay,
no,
good. I'm just checking.
But, it's just one of those amazing things. I mean, you will see people talking on the phone everywhere. And, you know, to me, the bathroom is kind of off limits. It's like, you know, I'm not going to have a conversation with you in there, you know.
Yes.
I don't need that. I'm going to ignore my phone in there.
And if you do talk to me while you're in the bathroom, don't tell me you're in the bathroom.
There you go.
I don't need that mental picture.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you what, Glenn is on the line. Glenn, welcome to the show. Glad you're with us. Go right ahead.
Roger, I'm an old customer. I'm a World War II veteran.
Uh-huh.
And Roger, I want to ask you, how do you like this daylight saving time? It's a quarter after four, and you have to turn the lights on. Now, I think Snyder should leave our time alone. People go to work in the dark and they go home in the dark.
It is not a state thing. It's the federal government that invented this foolishness.
Let's tell Obama to, Michigan, we would like to have our own time.
Actually, it's Fred Upton authored the bill that extended the most recent extension of daylight savings.
I've talked to several people, and they said, this is ridiculous. We can send our kids to school an hour later and leave the time alone in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Glenn, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Appreciate you joining in. Just as another note, apparently originally it was designed daylight savings by Benjamin Franklin. So,
oh yeah,
just a little side note there.
But I believe it was an American Indian who said only the white man would think you could cut a foot off the end of the blanket and sew it on the other end and think you get a longer blanket.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's go back to the phones, talking about cell phones, ignoring texts and calls and things like that. And we've got Frank on the line. Frank, welcome to our program.
Ah, good afternoon. What an interesting subject.
Thank you.
I had a couple incidents happen to me in Kalamazoo in 84 and 85.
Okay.
Pardon me?
Okay.
I was losing my eyesight in 84, and I went over to VA, and I went downtown, went into this place, which was a tavern and all that. And I says, where's the restroom? I need the restroom. The little lady says, you go right back about 40 feet, turn right. And it was dark in there, so I went in, and I looked, and I couldn't find no damn urinals. I looked over there, and I saw a couple of feet, and I says, where's the urinal? And the lady says, you're in the wrong room.
Well, there you go.
Pardon me?
There you go.
I need to see an eye dog. No, I can see my sight now again. I got both eyes operated. And Happy New Year. Keep up the good work, guys.
Okay.
Well, thanks.
Thanks, Frank, for that phone call. Tell you what.
Yes.
Let's continue on with the phones right now. We've got Steve on the line. Steve, welcome to the program. Are you on here? There you are,
you guys,
Steve.
Doing?
Okay. Hi, Steve. We're good. How about you?
Hey, not too bad. I went to a basketball game, a high school basketball game, and I ended up sitting in the front row. And at halftime, I happened to just turn around just to see who was, you know, sitting behind me. And I'll bet you 7 out of 10 people had a phone in their hand, either texting or, yeah, most of them, I think, were texting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then also, on the opposing bench was a player that was in street clothes that he was texting on the bench. And he actually was the star player. He plays for Ohio State right now. So he was playing for Detroit Country Day, and they played Kalamazoo Central.
Boy, when I was doing sports, the coach would have chatted with us if we were that distracted from a game, even if we weren't playing.
Yeah. Well, what kind of sports did you play?
Football.
Football?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Hey, I also seen somebody drive up over the curb on the corner of Milam and Oakland Drive, and I was right behind her. And as I went past her, she was up on the curb, just missed the light pole, and she had her phone stuck between her ear and her shoulder.
Oof.
I thought, that's real smart.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
But, I something's got to happen with cell phones, because I know they're convenient, but they're actually running everybody's lives. I mean, people, you go to a convenience store, and you're standing in line, and if someone in front of you takes a phone call, I walk right around them and say, you can help me. If their phone call's that important, I just think things have to change. Mm.
I agree with you. That's why I don't carry a cell phone anymore.
Yeah.
I'm sick of them.
Yeah. Well, when I get home, my cell phone gets shut off.
Yeah.
People, I have a house phone, and if they have to call me and they need to get a hold of me, they know how to get a hold of me.
Yeah. Other than that, leave me alone.
Well, tell you what, Steve, we got a lot of people lined up here to talk to, but we appreciate your phone call
today. Hey, thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
All right. We move on to Bill is on the line. Bill, you're with us. Welcome to the program.
Good evening. I belong to a mega church, and One time there was in the middle of the service during a quiet period.
Mm-hmm.
One young man's phone went off, and he had a gangster rap ringtone that where the F-bomb was floating out over about 800 people. And he got a talking to, and just over Christmas at the same church during the service, I happened to look behind me, and there was a young man in about 15 years old, and he was busily texting during the service.
Mm.
And I looked at him and went, really? And he was, at that point, I guess, chagrined enough that he put the phone away.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing, Bill.
Okay. Sure. Thanks. Bye now.
Okay. There was Bill calling from Grand Rapids. Glad that he could be a part of things. You know what? We are going to continue the discussion. Got to get to a break here. But when we continue the program, Joe will be with us. So we'll look forward to Joe's comments as we talk about the strange and silly stuff people do on their cell phones.
Wouldn't that be embarrassing to have a gangster rap go off in the middle of church?
Yeah. Huh. Can't even begin to imagine. And your weather forecast brought to you by Westlake Drug, our family serving yours for over 35 years. Jeremy Lawrence here with you along with Roger Taylor talking about some of those wild, crazy things that people do with cell phones.
Some of them unintentional.
You know, we talked earlier about the woman that, and that was a viral video that went around the internet.
Yeah.
The woman walking into the mall fountain.
Or the caller who talked about taking a long walk on a pier that ended before her call did.
My favorite so far has been the nurse that called in and said that somebody was being prepared for surgery and they're on their phone.
Yes.
You know, that's one of those times where you kind of want to stop. Maybe put the phone down, shut it off, perhaps.
Unless you were getting last rites or something.
Could be. I don't know. But I've been interested to see what Joe has to say. Joe's been waiting on the line. Joe, thanks for waiting so patiently. Welcome.
Welcome, guys.
Hi, Joe.
Hey Roger. My name's Joe. My mom is Maggie. So I'm sure she'd want me to say hi to you.
Oh, hi. Yeah, good.
You and I have never met yet, but I'm sure we will someday. Just to let you know, I pulled over on the side of the road before I called you.
Good.
I drive a semi, and my bosses get mad because I don't answer the phone when I'm driving.
That's not safe.
No, it's not. And on that point, I have a brother who's a semi driver. I called him one day. He answered his phone. And I'm like, hey, where are you at? And he's like, oh, I'm in Ohio. And we talked for a minute. And then all of a sudden I hear, and I hear, oh, man. And I was like, Goody, you all right? And he goes, I'm going to have to call you back. I just flipped my semi.
Oh, ooh, and you were there live.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That might actually top your nurse.
Yes.
It just might.
Yes, and you heard it live.
Yes.
Thanks, man. Joe.
Thanks for
having me. Have a good day.
All right, so we've gotten some interesting interesting little
That would be the most awe-inspiring, is that flipping a semi. You know, before we go, we ought to mention that the National Weather Service has issued a winter storm watch for Sunday night or Saturday night into Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
As much as 6 inches of snow or more, wind chill factors 30 below. We got some serious caca heading our way.
You'll want to definitely keep an eye on what's going on, and we'll keep you in the know as far as what the weather looks like. And we'll keep you in the know on whatever it is we're talking about, because we're certain to talk about some more stuff.
As soon as we know, we'll let you know.
There you go. CBS is next.
Weather brought to you by Asthma Allergy Centers of Southwest Michigan for the office nearest you. Visit asthmaallergycenters.com.
16 degrees out there, and according to the weather forecast from AccuWeather, not looking to get a whole lot better. I mean, they are saying that it's going to be around 30 tomorrow, but then wind chills and that kind of thing, so not so much fun there.
And then the serious stuff happens.
Oh, yeah.
So another snowstorm.
Apparently some snow or something. Yeah.
Winter storm watch in effect from tomorrow night through Sunday and probably into Monday and Tuesday.
Now, they're also, alongside that, I think there is a wind chill watch or something similar to that.
Yeah.
So that is out there as well. If you're curious about all of that, we have a weather page at our website. So
you can
check that out, WKZO.com. Right up top, as soon as you get there, there's going to be some links for you to be able to click on and figure out what the weather is, particularly when you have situations like this. We switch over and make sure you're in the know. So it's a good spot to be.
As you can tell by my enthusiasm when we talked to Bob Larson, I'm a weather geek. And our weather radar on WKZO.com is top-notch.
No, it is.
That's one of the best radar pages around. It's my go-to radar.
No,
and you can zoom in to street level if you want to see what's really going on.
Just looked at that earlier today myself. So, just trying to keep track of what the forecast is doing for the weekend. Because let's face it, 4 to 8 inches, that's pretty significant. And from what Bob told us last hour, looks like we get that. And then into next week, some lake effect snow.
On top of that.
He wouldn't necessarily nail down how many inches of lake effect, but significant, I think, was the word that he used.
Well, it's lake effect is so... What's the word I'm looking
Dicey?
For?
Dicey?
Yeah. It just depends on where the streamer's set up. And you can drive through a band that's maybe 5 miles wide, and on either side the sun's out, but during that five-mile period you're under the streamer, it's snowing like crazy. And you have to be clairvoyant to know where that's going to set
Certainly.
Up. It's not a big storm working its way across the country.
Well, we had a rather large discussion. There's really no other way to segue from weather into Obamacare. But we had a rather lengthy discussion about Obamacare, I believe, yesterday. We talked about that. And there were some different things that I know you looked up some information. So did I. So we've got a little bit of information and some new things that have come out yet today.
Well, I just saw a news report last night that between the people who have enrolled so far for the ACA, that's what we call Obamacare affectionately, and but when you combine that with the new Medicaid enrollees and the children being entered into the children's insurance program in Michigan, we call it My Child. And when you total all that up, somewhere between 9 and 10 million people now have... Oh, the other addition is the young people left on their parents' insurance to age 26. We have so far covered about 20% of the uninsured people in the country with some kind of insurance. There were 50 million uninsured, and at this point, we've dealt with approaching 10 million of them.
And now, one of the things, though, that you bring up in the middle of all that is you talk about how Medicaid is one of the areas where people are going to. And with Medicaid, one of the things that was said when Obamacare was being sold to us is the idea that if we insure more people and we get them some insurance and there's preventative care and that kind of thing, they're saying emergency room visits would actually go down based on that. Apparently, out of the state of Oregon, they're seeing the opposite because they've gotten more people on Medicaid. Guess what? Visits to emergency rooms are increasing.
What do they attribute that change to? Or do they just things have changed?
I think probably,
do they have any suggestions of why that's the case?
I think probably the idea is simply that, you know, people are going, well, I'm covered now. So, you know, they'll go in for things. The other thing that was pointed out, and this was an article that came out of Forbes talking about this, they said that in this particular case, said nationally we spend about $50 billion a year on uncompensated care for the uninsured.
Uh-huh.
And then they point out that Obamacare spends $250 billion a year of taxpayer money covering the uninsured. And the article makes this comment, only in Washington is spending $250 billion to address a $50 billion problem is considered savings. And points out, as the article continues on, that in Massachusetts, of course, they had Romney Care there, that things worked out a similar way, and emergency room use in Massachusetts increased after the advent of Romney Care there as well. The other thing that we wanted to bring up, and I know you had asked me to do this yesterday. I found this pretty quickly, actually. Numbers, polling numbers, when Obamacare was passed in 2010. And this was something that I had dug up, actually. They said, and I kind of have to dig through here, said that just after passed, likely voters favored repeal by a margin of 13 points. This was right after passage of Obamacare in 2010. So that was one thing that was brought up there. Got several other sources for that as well.
But
so.
Yeah, but let's go back to that. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing those polls.
Mm-hmm.
And if you asked the question about Obamacare, you got that answer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you took the components of the Affordable Care Act and asked people, one, do you think ending discrimination against people who have pre-existing conditions, is that a good idea? The majority said yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask them, leaving your children on your insurance policy until they reach age 26, the majority of people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, there was a lot of negative publicity from conservatives that did appear to create a public relations issue around the words Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. But when you ask the individuals how they felt about the various components of Obamacare, there was support for it.
Every component, though.
No, there was.
Not every component.
Show me the one that there was an exception for that.
You've got the idea that you're forcing people to buy health insurance. People don't like that. They've never liked that.
That was the Heritage Foundation approach designed by conservatives. So who didn't like it?
And that's not necessary to say that every conservative liked it just because a conservative organization decided on this idea. They even say now
Mitt Romney,
it was a bad idea.
A conservative presidential
nominee. He was moderate at best.
But he signed the Massachusetts mm-hmm. Affordable Care mm-hmm. Act, and interestingly enough, compared per capita to the United States, the system that Mr. Romney was responsible for enrolled people at a slower pace than the ACA.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is what happens when, first of all, you light a fire under the rear end and say, you know what, you're going to have to sign up for insurance or pay a fine. And that's been the thing that they've had to do. Plus, you got the IRS coming after them for the money. They're going to get their money as far as that goes. Now,
you mean the fines?
The fines. Now, the other part of it, too, is you're cherry picking parts of it and saying, well,
you don't do that.
I just watched you do it. I talked about
you never cherry pick your information.
You're the one that accused me of cherry picking yesterday. I'm just returning the favor here.
Well, I just pointed out where you did.
Let me talk now, okay? What we did here is you talk about, okay, kids staying on their parents' insurance until they're 26, and this mm-hmm. involves college students and that kind of thing. You know what? That's something a lot of people like. And yes, that's something we can sit down and agree on.
But Republicans want to repeal it.
Republicans want to repeal and replace. The one thing Republicans...
No, they don't want to replace.
Let me finish.
There's no talk of replacing.
All right, wait a minute. They've talked about that from the beginning.
Who?
They, The Republicans have. They talked about repealing. Repeal and replace.
No.
That was the thing they kept saying over and over and over again.
Oh, but the last year and a half, they've only said repeal.
That, no, let me finish
That's just
talking.
In your imagination, Jeremy.
Okay, let's just, let me talk here. You're talking over me instead of with me, okay? Here's what the thing is that they're bad at, which is PR. They're horrible at it. They've been horrible at it.
Who's the they you're talking
Republicans,
about?
Republicans. They're awful at it.
Oh, okay.
They are absolutely horrible at it. They always have been, because when it comes down to it, no. They don't come out and say, here's our idea. They've got ideas. They just don't talk about them. I wish they would.
I don't
but
think
the bottom
they,
line is
I don't
here.
Think
let me,
they've
let me get
got
back
any
to what
ideas.
Was, let me get back to what I was talking about, though. You brought up two ideas that are very popular with a majority of people. Yes, absolutely. Let's sit down and let's have a discussion about that. Instead, what we got with Obamacare is you get this and all this other crap that you don't like, and guess what? We're going to ram it down your throat whether you like it or not.
But, Jeremy, what's the first thing on John Boehner's mind when Congress finally comes back to work? More efforts
Where's
to repeal
gavel?
Obamacare. no talk of replacement. They haven't had talked a plan for replacement in a year and a half. You're right. Originally, they said repeal mm-hmm. and replace. Mm-hmm. Now they're just talking repeal, and they're talking about more votes to repeal starting this month in the next few days.
Well,
they're not talking about replacing anything.
Let's talk about what people are experiencing out there because of Obamacare.
10 million people, approaching 10 million people, have insurance now.
You know what you're seeing with some of these people that, quote, have insurance? There are people going to emergency rooms, doctors, hospitals right now who are walking away because that insurance they signed up for on Obamacare, they don't know if they got it or not.
There hasn't been any evidence of that happening so far.
There's now, evidence of it. I've got an article right in front of me.
Who published it?
This comes from Daily Mail. This is a publication out of the UK.
Okay, Daily Mail, that's not a questionable source, so I'll listen to that.
And they were talking about, they were there interviewing people face-to-face saying, all right, what's the deal? Why can't you stay in here? Why can't you go and get the service you need? Well, it's because they said they can't prove whether or not I have insurance, so I'd have to pay for it. And for a lot of these people, they're walking away because they can't pay for it.
So how was that different than before when they had to
insurance.
Walk away when they couldn't pay for it?
They signed up for Obamacare.
No, 50 million people never had insurance in the first place.
They signed up for it. They should have insurance right now, according to what they're being told, that they've got insurance, but then they show up to go and use it. Guess what? You don't have insurance.
They had an interview last night with this woman from Grand Rapids on a Fox channel, of course. Not exactly where you go for accurate information.
Okay, wait a minute.
But she talked about the number of different navigators that she had tried to work with, mm-hmm. and she still couldn't figure out this insurance thing. And clearly, it was an operator problem. She just couldn't figure these things out. And we have people for whom insuring yourself, either through the ACA or any other kind of insurance, is more difficult than they're capable of doing.
Well, when you set it up as complex as it is, it might be a little difficult for a lot of people.
Why didn't single-payer system?
Let's go to the phones here and talk with Chris. Chris is waiting on the line. Chris, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I called about one thing and that led into another thing. Wow. So, I don't know if Roger noticed, but Romney didn't get elected. And a big part of that reason is because of Romney here. A lot of conservatives said, yep, no, he's not our guy. Mm-hmm. Not conservative enough.
A lot of conservatives stayed home, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why he lost the election. And then the other thing is, you know, you keep on talking about, you guys are talking about, you know, well, we got 10 million new people. But 10 million is more than half of them on the dole now, which is, it's great that they're getting coverage, but what's the cost?
You would rather have them go to the emergency room and stick
to the hospital?
They're
going to the emergency room still. That I think Jeremy pointed that out pretty clearly.
No,
that,
with anecdotal information from one state, we haven't seen the plan. It's been working for 3 days. We don't know how this is working, good, bad, or indifferent.
Roger, we saw the same information come out of Massachusetts under Romney Care. Emergency room went up.
None of that matters. I mean, this was sold as, what, $900 billion, and now it's, approaching $3 trillion.
And
it keeps on going. It keeps on going. The more people you sign up on the dole, the less people have to pay for themselves, the more it's shifted to the taxpayer, and in the end, we're borrowing that money.
Chris, do you remember when Obama was selling this to the country, and he said it wasn't going to add a dime to the deficit?
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah,
And there were a lot of gimmicks in that. I mean, gimmicks, by one person's definition.
How about the fact that it's reduced Medicare expense by about 12%? You're cherry-picking your information.
How do we increase? We pick up four.
Because
or
it's reducing the cost of medical care in this country.
How?
For who?
How does it do that? That by denying services, that's the only way it can do that.
That's not how it works. The reimbursement rates that hospitals get is being impacted. Why one of the local hospitals is having to lay people off. But you know what? Both of you guys, Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act is the law of the land. And you guys got to start living in the real world at some point.
That's the law of the land, and the country is moving in that direction. Roger, there were a lot of laws that were the law of the land that have gone by the wayside, and for the right reasons.
This isn't one of them. It's happening. 10 million people are benefiting from the Affordable Care Act, and you guys want to take that away from those people.
They knew when they passed this law that it wasn't going to cover.
Who's the they you're talking about?
The they who pushed this law.
Who's the they? Don't just say they. Who are you talking about?
The advocates for Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, whichever you prefer, knew that when this law was passed, it would not cover the 30 million people that it was supposed to cover. That's what this was shoved down our throats about.
You're just making that up.
No, I'm not.
No, the people who authored this bill did not know that 30 million out of the 50 million people they were trying to insure were going to remain uninsured. No, you're wrong. You're wrong, and you're making it up.
Yep, I am, because that's a solid argument in any case. So it isn't a solid argument. I want to call a local show and then say something that I do not believe it's true or did not read, because that's a valid argument.
I believe you read it someplace.
We got to go to break here. Yeah. Chris, thanks for calling.
Happy New Year, Chris.
Bye.
We continue ahead. Keep it here.
The arguments continue,
even during
the break.
Of course. Tell you what, though, we've got just a couple of minutes here, and I know Jerry's been waiting on the line. So, Jerry, why don't you join us here? Welcome.
Thank you. You only have a couple of minutes. Just one thing. If the people are going to the emergency room with insurance, at least the hospitals are getting paid. Right now they go to the hospital. The hospital doesn't get paid, and all of us who use the hospital bear the cost of that. So in the long run, it's going to lower the cost of care, because the hospitals will get paid and they can lower the cost that they charge for everything.
Okay.
Thank you, Jerry.
What world are you living in, Jerry? I got to ask that, because when it comes
down to
hospitals do not cut costs.
Thank you, Roger.
They have
you, Roger.
Not.
Why would you insult him?
I just asked him where he was living because, quite frankly, the real world, that doesn't happen.
You think Fox News reports the news accurately. What color is the sky in your world?
You're the one that thinks the New York Times reports it accurately. What color is the sky in yours?
Thanks for calling in, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it. All right. One thing I wanted to share with you, though, Roger. One thing, a poll that I came across as I was looking at things, 81% of people in America favor repealing or changing the health care law. Now, if 81% believe that, isn't it time we did something?
I'm on that 81%.
Wouldn't know it by your defense of Obamacare.
Oh, I don't like it. Obamacare. We never should have headed down this road. We should have expanded Medicare for everybody in the country in the first place.
Can't agree
with
that.
This keeping the insurance companies in the business was stupid from day one.
So the government should take over and we shouldn't have private industry out there to try and make money. Is that what you're saying?
Not on health care. No other country in the world does it. Why do we think we can invent the wheel?
Because we have a capitalist society. We're a capitalist society, but people go into business to make money.
There's something wrong with raw capitalism. It needs to be managed.
It needs to be managed.
And healthcare is not one of the places that you want the free enterprise system running amok.
Running amok. How about out there trying to make money and things like that? You know, that's what people do. They try to make money.
Yeah, making money by denying coverage for people who have insurance.
That people need.
Denying coverage to people who have a pre-existing condition. Yeah, you can make money doing a lot of things, like robbing banks, too.
Show's over. Have a good weekend.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.